how important the Word of God is. I understand that what's going to get us through is the meat of the Word, the teaching of the Word that gets into our hearts. But you need to realize that praise and worship is a weapon too. Amen? And I want to read something, and I know you're familiar with the story, but sometimes we've just got to be reminded of how important our praise and our worship is, okay? I'm going to read out of 2 Chronicles. And you all know the story about Jehoshaphat, you know? But let me remind you a little bit of it this morning and what brought the victory in this situation. Three armies came against Jehoshaphat. Three armies. So guess what old Jehoshaphat did? He got on his knees. Oh, God, you know? And this is what the word of the Lord said to him. Said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, because somebody's going through a battle, and you need to know that it is not yours, it is God's. And then he says, for the tomorrow march down against them, they will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Now, there's some key words to remember. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. What is your position? Stand firm and see the deliverance of that the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I don't know who it is, but somebody needs to go face somebody with their head up in the strength of the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And the Message Bible says they just literally began to shout. When was the last time you began to shout? And early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Where is your success going to come from? Not with your faith in man. Not with your faith in your money, but with your faith in God. And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were delivered. What did they do? They praised God because he said, stand fast and see me do this great thing before you. And then I want to jump down. They found there and they had just turned against themselves. So Jehoshaphat and his army got all the loot that they could carry. And they even get blessed in the midst of it. And they go back and then they say, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. And they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. Amen. Listen, there comes a time when you need to say, you know what, I can't change a thing. I cannot do a thing about this, but I'm going to praise my God, give him the glory, and I'm going to stand and see the deliverance of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand up and praise him.
Hope is here, shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come.
Yeah.
Jesus saves, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Jesus saves. hope is here. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saved. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saved. Free at last, every debt has been repaid. Broken hearts can be remade. Jesus saves. Sing it through the dark of night. Sing it through the dark of night. Jesus saves. Free at last, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. We'll sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. You save, you heal, restore, rebuild your Father's heart to us. You rose to raise us from the grave. Your Spirit lives in us. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Oh, sing it out, a shout till the whole world knows your name. Jesus, sing it out, a shout, for we will know your name. Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Raise a shout in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Oh, we praise you and magnify you, Jesus. Hope is here. Hallelujah. We're not lost. We're not forsaken. We're not forgotten. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your word says, I will not, I will not, I will not never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Your mercy is new every day. I'm so glad, I'm so glad.
Your favor surrounds me today. I'm so glad, I'm so glad. I was bound by sin and shame, but then your endless mercy came. It's a mercy day, all my sins are washed away. It's a merciful day. I'm not bound by yesterday. Your grace and mercy rescue me. Your love has saved my life. So I thank you for this merciful day. So glad, I'm so glad. Your favor surrounds me today. I'm so glad, I'm so glad.
I was bound by sin and shame, but then your endless mercy came. It's a merciful day, all my sins are washed away. Oh, it's a merciful day, I'm not bound by yesterday. Your grace and mercy rescued me. Your love has saved my life. So I thank you for this merciful day. Your mercy is new every day. Washed away. It's a merciful day. I'm not bound by yesterday. Your grace and mercy rescue me. Your love has saved my life. So I thank you for this merciful day. Your mercy is new every day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship and magnify you this morning, praise God.
There is an endless song, echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring. And though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I came. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives. And I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through, and sing the songs you give. From singing your praise, how can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes to sing. I can sing in the troubled times. Sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing cause you pick me up. Sing cause you're there. I can sing cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath. Sing for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I can sing in the troubled times. Sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing cause you pick me up. Sing cause you're there. I can sing cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath. Sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart.
I am loved by the King,
and it makes my heart.
I am loved by the King,
and it makes my heart want to sing. I say, yeah, yeah, I can sing.
I tell you what, church, I don't know what's going on tonight in the atmosphere, but we're in a war mode this morning, and somebody needs to do some kicking and shouting. Now, I tell you what, it's kind of been the kind of situation, you've taken it sitting down. You just let all this stuff come on you, and you just said, and the Lord says, tell you it's time to kick and shout. It's time to kick and shout and say, in the name of Jesus, this has got to stop. Amen. And stand and see God deliverance take place, whatever's going on in your life. Folks, I tell you what, you can get so used to something going wrong that you start accepting it. And the Lord says this morning, you need to draw the line. Now, this is war, church. This is spiritual warfare I'm talking about. And I did not know that every song just about we said talked about not only the power of His name, but about shout. You know, some of you have lost your shout. Amen. I don't know who I'm talking to. It might be myself. But sometimes we can get bombarded by stuff to where we just start thinking that's life. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Word of God says that's not life. The Word of God is sure. The Word of God is true. And you need to remember who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't walk by the principles of this world. We walk by the principles of the Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, just lift your hands and praise Him today. Hallelujah. 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 I can sing in the troubled time.
Sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step. And I fall down again. I can sing cause you pick me up. Sing cause you're there. I can sing, cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it breaks my heart. I am loved by the King, and it breaks my heart. I am loved by the King, and it breaks my heart. What you sing?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let me hear hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you what, as pastor, I may be a little more subject to this than any of the rest of you. But I've had to overcome this morning who's not here.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that several are out of town and several are sick. And a bunch of people said, I'll see you Sunday. And I don't see any of them. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to them. But we're here. And I have had to get my focus off of who is not here in order to experience what is here. And that's the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's always something. I was sitting here praising the Lord, and I know it was the devil. Put a little thought in my mind about something that I forgot this week.
Uh-oh.
All of a sudden, I happen to think of it right in the middle of praising the Lord. And then that's something. And it was a kind of situation where I thought, oh, no. And then I had to really push that out of my mind to get back into to experiencing God. I mean, the devil has no... I mean, there's nothing sacred to him. And there's times I believe that he'll come right into where God's people are, and maybe not him, but some demonic representative. And he gets in, and he may be scared silly to be there, but he does what he's supposed to do before he gets to the point where he just has to run. And if we don't stand against him, he don't have to run. He'll stand and talk to you. He'll stand and pat you on the back. He'll tell you, yeah, you realize it. Didn't nobody speak to you when you came in this morning?
Uh-oh. Bless you, Lord. Bless
you. I mean, you know, they don't have a right to treat you that way. I mean, there's nothing sacred to him. But thank God that we have the victory over him.
Amen.
We have the ability to shut him down. Now, I tell you what. He doesn't have the ability to shut you down unless he can talk you into shutting down.
That's right.
He cannot take your shout. He can only talk you out of it.
That's right.
Amen. He can't take your joy. He can only talk you out of it. He can talk you into giving it to him, but he can't take it away from you. And when we stand our ground and say, devil, enough is enough. This far, no further.
Amen.
You are a defeated foe, and you are under my feet.
Amen.
And as a result of that, I have authority over you. And he'll say, well, look at the circumstances. That don't look like much authority. I guess I don't. Instead of saying, Circumstances don't matter. The Word of God is what matters.
Amen.
And God has said that I have authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, church, we are here in the presence of God to glorify God, to receive from God, to experience God, and no devil or devils is going to stop us from doing that this morning by planting things in our mind to distract us. Hallelujah. Now let me hear you shout. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Morning dawns and evening fades. You inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Lord, we pray to Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, in your name we pray. Fill our hearts today, Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify and we glorify your name, O Lord. Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Come on now. Oh, the name of the Lord is the righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high.
Jesus is the name of the Lord. Come on, church, now.
Jesus is
is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most High.
And the righteous run into that name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well. You know what? I can say it's well with my soul. Even though things around me ain't going good, I know right here God has taken care of everything. Amen. So y'all need to grab hold of that. Amen.
Do it again, brother.
Say, there's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, say it is well. Hallelujah. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won.
Thank you, Lord.
He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my drawing near, and this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Hallelujah. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many
angels sing,
worthy is the Lamb. And I
hear the cry of every longing heart. The many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of men longing heart, worthy is the Lamb, worthy no more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
Sharing, the Lord says you're going to have to get your foot out of the back. In the back, whatever that stands for. And you're going to have to get both feet going forward in Him. Okay, brother? I love you. I love you. Let's worship God. I tell you what, our God is greater. Our God is greater than any circumstance you're going through this morning. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, let's just celebrate Jesus this morning. Come on.
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you,
there's
none like you.
Our God is greater, come on.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
into the darkness now.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you,
no one,
none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
our God is greater,
our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Oh, come on, are you ready to declare this? Do you really believe this morning? shout this out this morning, church. Hallelujah.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against?
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Our
God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against?
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God.
Come on, church, let's sing that together. Are you ready?
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We've got to do one more thing. Pastor, would you come with me? We're supposed to lay hands on Danny. Let's go lay hands on him. Church, let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what, that devil is a liar. Davey, that Davey there was a liar. Come here, honey. Come here. Corey, you want to come too? Come on. I tell you what, the devil is not going to destroy this family. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And I'm not going to allow it. It's time to shout. It's time to put your foot down and say, enough is enough. And our shout to God is going to be greater. Anyway, keep your head held high. Believe in God and trust Him for His control and His healing power. Pastor. Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to give you a word the Lord gave me standing up there before she said anything. The Lord says in His word that any tongue that rises against you falsely will be condemned. And we have a promise in the word of God that says you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And the Lord says that He is bigger, He is stronger. If God is for us, then who can stop us? If He's on our side, nothing can come against us. And the Lord wants you to remember that and hold fast to that and see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. And Lord, I thank you right now for your strength and for your power, for the faith to rise up in them to believe that everything, Lord God, is in your control. And I know, Lord God, that justice prevails for those, Lord God, that the enemy comes against. And I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness.
your faithfulness to deliver, your faithfulness, Lord God, to take care of every situation that comes against us. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for healing Brother Danny's body. I thank you, Lord God, for the manifestation that he's received this week. And Lord God, we're believing everything to come to manifestation. And the righteousness of God prevail. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I gotta be obedient. You all may be seated. I'm going to dismiss the praise and worship team, but I got to share this one more word I got from God. The Lord says, if you look around in your family, I'm just telling you what God's put in my heart to say. If you look around in your family and you wonder why their passion for the Lord seems to have been on the decrease, the Lord says, you know, as leaders of the church and as leaders of our families, is our passion increasing or is our passion decreasing? You know, you can blame it on anybody you want to blame it on. When this goes wrong or when that goes wrong or when this kid says or whatever. But you've got to examine, is my passion greater than it was yesterday? And as my passion for Jesus Christ gets greater and greater, then my kids are going to follow. Come on now, church. Amen? Amen. Let's just start declaring what God has said in His Word is true and not give the devil any place and not tell him, that's enough, devil, you're not taking any more from me. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. And we've got these requests that we're going to ask God to meet these needs. Gary Baxter, his legs need healing. Edwin Jackson, having hip and back pains today. Glenna Townsend, KJ's mom, is having surgery on May the 9th. June Saylor, continue to believe for her manifestation. For Kelly and Noah and Josh, that's family members of June and Jerry. Leona Aiken, healing for cracked rib. Janice Ramage, for her healing. She's standing and believing God for healing. And that's where her faith is. She's trusting God. And we're going to believe God with her. Robert Turner for salvation. Brenda Thrasher for healing. Joyce is needs a healing. That's Joyce.
Our Joyce.
Hubert James for salvation and healing. Edith Harmon needs a healing. Buddy Wall for continued healing and to be able to eat. Nancy, Laddie's sister, family situation, needs wisdom. Amy and Nikki Cox, Gary Sapp, Jennifer Grimes, Brandon Honecker, and Mike Johnson.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Any other name be added? Glenna. Okay. Glenna Mann.
I want us to put down Mill and Maxine, too. They're both still fighting some stuff this morning. Mill and Maxine Moss. Oh.
Jesse, Connie's daughter.
Jesse, okay. Amen. Amen. That's it. Pity doesn't get him anything. But authority and power does.
My
Hallelujah.
Grayson still sick this morning? Okay, Grayson. Little Grayson.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you get one of these names particularly just lodges in your mind, you lift them up before God. Whisper their name out before God. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you right now. We know, Lord God, the Word says, come into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. And Father, we glorify you and we praise you and we worship you as the King of Kings, as the Savior, as the Healer, as the Deliverer, as the one that meets all of our needs. And Lord God, as we have spoken out these names and now we lift up this list to you, we believe, Lord God, that you are going to touch and to minister to their needs. We believe, Lord God, that the power of your Spirit is released right now to go to them, that your Word is being sent to them, that your Word was sent to them to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are the Savior of these that need salvation. You are the Healer for the ones that need healing. You are the Deliverer for the ones that need deliverance. And Lord God, for those that have family situations that are in turmoil, you are the peacemaker. We thank you, Lord God, that you can do what is necessary in those situations to protect your children, to protect those, Lord God, that are desiring to serve you, to deliver those, Lord God, that may be oppressed or possessed of the enemy, that do not desire that. Lord God, the man with in the tombs, Lord, he may have been in a mess, but he had a desire to be out of it. And Lord God, I thank you that your power was there and your power was present. And I thank you, Father, that for those that are seriously desirous of your power moving in their lives, you're there. You are available. There is nothing, Lord God, that's impossible with you. And there is nothing on this prayer list that's impossible with you. There is no situation, Lord God, that you can't minister to and that you can't rectify. And so, Lord God, we leave these in your hands. We leave them, Lord God, with you to bring to pass the covenant promises that you made in your Word. We thank you, Lord God, for that. I thank you for being with each one in this building this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for touching our lives. I thank you, Lord God, for encouraging us today. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to open our eyes, you're going to open our hearts, and you're going to strengthen us, Lord God, in the truth of your Word. And Father, I thank you. We pray for our nation, for our leaders. We pray, Lord God, for all of those families that have suffered through these storms this week, and that have seen death and destruction all around them. And we pray, Lord God, that you would minister to them. For those that would reach out to you, Lord God, you are their comforter. And Father, the foreign countries where governments are turning against their own people, or people are turning against their own government, or ever how you describe it, Lord God, and they're killing each other. And I thank you, Lord God, for being with your people, wherever they are. And I thank you, Father, that you do care. That you are not out there someplace saying, well, you made the mess, now get out of it. But you, Lord God, sent your Son to redeem us from the mess that we made. And I thank you, Lord God, that there is always deliverance, there is always hope for those that look up and look to you for help. And Lord God, we just bless you today. And we're counting you faithful to move in these people's lives that we've spoken out before you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to remind you that if you're going to make it Friday night, Connie Childs is going to be with us as we celebrate Mother and Daughter Banquet here. Just sign up out there in the back, and so we'll know how many's coming. And we're going to have a good time in the Lord as we honor our mothers, okay? Okay, now you get that off and get it back to me.
Hallelujah. We're going to let the children, preschool, nursery classes be dismissed. Hallelujah. And then we're going to get into the Word of God. See what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us this morning. He's already said a whole lot to us. Yes, we have a praise report. Let's get it on the air.
My brother Donnie had some heart problems this week, and I called the prayer force here, and they did 4 stents. He had 5 blockages, 290% and 270%, and then 150%, and they did 4 stents. But he's already home. He's doing fine. Let's praise God for it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's the way we're supposed to be able to tell people things. I tell you what, Brother Danny back here, I was talking to him the other day. He was having pains in his chest, pains down his arm. We prayed, and he said he hadn't had any more pain since. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have a different sort of a message this morning, something the Lord's put on my heart. I know that we read the Bible, we declare that it's the truth, we believe it, and yet, you know, sometimes the enemy comes in, like I said this morning, puts doubts in our mind about things. And what I'm going to look at this morning, this is a message, I call it the sign of the covenant. We read a lot in God's Word about His covenant that He made with mankind. And then we read this, and then we see this in the Word of God, and we receive the Word of God, and we really desire in our heart to believe it. And yet, at the same time, the enemy can come along and say, well, you got to understand it. This book was written 2,000 years ago. You got to understand that maybe all that was going on then is not going on now. But I want to share something with you this morning that to me, and it's like I said in the article I put in the bulletin this morning, this is one of the strongest proofs to me that you can trust this book. I mean, it's just a thing that if we understand it, it can't help but just increase your faith. We're going to look at several scriptures and rather lengthy, but we're just going to read through them for the most part because I just want you to hear them to get the idea and the sense of what I'm talking about this morning when I'm talking about the sign of the covenant. And I'll just tell you right up front, the sign of the covenant that I'm talking about this morning is not circumcision. Now, we will find out, you read through God's Word, that that has been a sign of God's covenant with the Jewish people throughout their history since it began back with Abraham. And that's been a sign. That's something that He has called them and that they, for the most part, have been faithful to. But one of the things that I want to share with you before we get started here is the idea of two branches of thought. One of branch of thought is called or known as dispensational theology. And in dispensational theology, the core of it is that the church has replaced the nation of Israel. And that there is a spiritual Israel, and it's the church. And that as far as the nation Israel is concerned, the actual literal flesh and blood Jewish people, there isn't much other than the fact that they rejected Jesus, and now they've incurred God's disfavor. If they have, then God is a liar. And we'll see that this morning. The other branch that is covenant theology. And in covenant theology, covenants don't change. The covenants are still covenants with the ones they were covenants with when they were made. And I think that as we look through this, there is proof. And if that is true, then the rest of it must be true. But I think we're going to see proof
that God is faithful forever to his covenants. And that is a sign of the truth of his word. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to begin with verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now let me stop right there for just a second and say that that is a reflection of the picture of Revelation 19. When Jesus appeared on the white horse, the armies of heaven followed him, and on his vesture and on his thigh was the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and that is Jesus coming back. Not no cross like Constantine saw. It's Jesus himself. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now that's pretty clear. I mean, it's pretty clear what he's talking about. He's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. That's Jesus' return in the end times. In the midst of that, he says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now, before I continue with the thought here, I want you to understand something about the covenant that God made with Abraham and Abraham's seed, Abraham's descendants, all the way down. And to do that, we need to look at some of the scripture. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm just going to read these scriptures because I want these in your mind as we talk about the sign of the covenant. In Genesis chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God, Almighty God," or God Almighty. "Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you." Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And what did he promise Abraham? My covenant will be an everlasting covenant, and I will give you this land as an everlasting possession. Now, the last account I heard, everlasting means everlasting. It means forever. Doesn't mean just for a few years. If it does, then we're gambling on everlasting life. All right. That was God's promise to Abraham. Now, let's jump forward to 2 Samuel chapter 7. The heading of the chapter in my Bible, I don't know about yours, but the heading of the chapter in my Bible says, God's covenant with David. God's covenant with David. Verse 12. I'm not going to read the first part. I'm just going to get into this. You can read that at your convenience. But starting with verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, this is God talking to David, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. Now, you look at the history of Israel, and you see that happening all along. Every time they got away from God, God chastised them. And he brought them into to captivity to a foreign power. But when they would straighten up, turn back to God, he always delivered them. He said they're going to have their ups and downs, to put it in, and they're going to incur my discipline. Just like our kids incur ours. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all his vision, or all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Again, forever. An everlasting covenant. Gone through hard times, gone through slim times, gone through bad times, gone through what looked like impossible times. But he said it's going to stand. Now we're going to jump forward a little further to Jeremiah chapter 33. Now remember what he told Abraham, remember what he told David. Now again, here's the prophet Jeremiah speaking forth in verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord. Now you pay close attention to this. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David my servant and the Levites who minister to me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Have you not considered what these people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord has chosen, he has also cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, as if they should no more be a nation before them. Thus says the Lord, If my covenant is not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captives to turn and will have mercy on them. He says, if I can break my covenant with day and night, then I can break my covenant with Abraham and David. When I revoke night and day, that'll be a sign to you that I've broken this covenant. Otherwise, the covenant is everlasting. Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God speaking in the last words that he spoke to them before the close of the old covenant, before the period of silence came, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. You know what he's basically saying there? Jacob, you are a mess. You have botched the whole thing. You have been faithless, uncaring. You've paid no real attention to me. You've done it your way. You've acted the way you wanted to act. And by all rights, you should be destroyed. But since I do not change, you're not consumed. Because I made a covenant with Abraham, and I'm going to keep it. I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. You're going to go through, pardon me, hell on earth, but you're not going to be consumed. There's going to be times when you're going to wonder what's going on. Where is God? But you're not going to be consumed. Because I made a covenant. And that covenant is forever. It's everlasting. Now jump forward to Galatians chapter 3. I need to put something in perspective. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, 430 years later than what? 430 years later than God's promise and his covenant with Abraham. And the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before. When was it confirmed? When he made it with Abraham. It confirmed before by God in Christ that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So what's he saying here? He's saying that the covenant of Moses, the Mosaic law, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, came 430 years after the promise, and it did not affect the promise. What was the law? The Bible says the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was to teach us how much we needed Him. And even though the children of Israel were not able to keep the law of Moses, God said, my deal with them did not rest on the law of Moses. My deal with them rests upon my promise to Abraham. My covenant with Abraham. One more scripture. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But now he, that is talking about Jesus Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And I know this is not on there, sister, but for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. When God established the Mosaic Covenant, God established it knowing it was going to be temporary. But the covenant that He made with Abraham is an eternal covenant. So what does all that have to do with the sign of the covenant? It has to do with the Jewish people. It has to do with the faithfulness of God's promise. When Jesus came, the Jewish leaders rejected Him sorely. And they crucified Him. They didn't want anything to do with Him. They did not want to acknowledge any way whatsoever, for the most part. Some of them followed Him, as of Nicodemus and some more. A few scattered here and there, but the ones in authority and the biggest part of them said, we've got to get rid of this because He's threatening everything that we believe in. And so they crucified Him. And then after they crucified Him, they began to persecute His followers. And this is too much of a story to do anything other than just call some attention to the table that I want to set right here. But Jesus fulfilling the promise to Abraham and to his seed. If you go back and read some more in Galatians chapter 3. But in the midst of all that, and I'm not going to take the time to do that, you can study it in Romans. But in the midst of all this, God was not rejecting Abraham's descendants. Why? Because He had a covenant with them. They could have gotten into it and participated right along with the ones that believe. And do you understand this? That the very first Christians, that 3,000 bunch the first day, and the most of the early converts were Jewish? They felt like, to begin with, that even what Jesus did was for the Jews. It was for God's people. And it took God supernaturally appearing to Peter and telling him to go up to Joppa. And he said, Lord, they're nothing but the Gentiles. What do I want to go up there for? They're all unclean. They're not your people. Jesus was sent to your people. That's when God broadened the vision of him and said, hey, I want you to know something. Everybody is my people. And in the sense of being in Jesus Christ, there's no difference between Jew and Greek and slave and free. But they're all one in Christ Jesus. But God still made a covenant Abraham. Things got so bad that in 70 A.D., Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed, the city was plowed under, and the ground was salted. Keep anything from growing. And basically, it became a barren spot of ground in the entire area over there. And the Jewish historian Josephus says that it was so bad, and the Romans did it, that it was so bad that 1 million Jews died in one day. And they were scattered. Their homeland was decimated and taken over by whoever had the courage and the determination to rule it. And then the Dark Ages came, and they had the Crusades trying to liberate Jerusalem from the Turks and from the Muslims, from the Arabs, whatever term you want to use. And that went on for several hundred years, and who was paying for all this? The Jews. Now, I don't mean paying for it literally with money. I mean paying for it for the lifestyle they were forced under. Every hand was against them. No countries tolerated them, but they didn't really want them. And one of the reasons that they didn't want them is because it seemed like that every place they went, they ended up with whatever was there that was of any value. They ended up being blessed in the midst of all of this intentions to literally destroy them. And this went on for hundreds of years. To a group of people that maintained their identity but never had a home. They never lost their identity during that period of time. They are unique in that respect. Because no other culture has been able to maintain itself without the benefit of a place to call their own. Always living in somebody else's house. Kind of get a picture of that. Renting all the time. Having to submit to the rules of the renter. Living in their house, knowing that the person whose house it was would like to get rid of them. They just hadn't figured out a way to do it nicely. So they began to be not so nice about it. After the Dark Ages passed, and then you get into modern times, one of the things that's interesting about that is that just like a lot of the other groups and the Christian groups and everything, the Jewish people found a haven in America. And I'll tell you what. You check out some of the most prosperous things that are going on in this country, and somewhere in there you will find a Jewish person or people as key positions. I tell you what, is that just human determination on the part of a certain ethnic group of people? They're just tougher than everybody else? I don't believe that. I don't believe that they're just able to withstand stand because of their nature, because of their bloodline, because of their DNA. I'll tell you what causes them to be able to put up with it is their God that has not broken His covenant with them. He just included us who aren't Jewish in the covenant. You know, you read over there in, it escapes me, it's in Romans when he talks about the grafting and the olive branches, wild olive branch being grafted in the cultivated tree. And he says this, Paul says this, if he cut the true vines off or the true branches off and put those who were not true branches in so they could grow the fruit from the roots, if he cut them in or cut them out, put those in, He's able to put the original back in with them. And pretty much implies it will happen. But you got to understand, Christianity started with Jewish people. Now, one of the places that a lot of them ended up was in Russia. Russians didn't like them either. And the Tsar started an extermination program. And I forgot the exact name of what it was called. It had a name. But they would go into the villages that had Jewish people in them, and they would dispossess the Jewish people. They'd take everything away from them that they had, and then basically say to them, now you can leave, disappear, or we'll kill you. And so they were dispossessed. Some of them died. A lot of them died. Hundreds of thousands of them died. Others moved to other places. They were nomads. And all during this period, time marches on. You've got the church over here. You've got the church getting in a position in the dark ages where it almost went dark. It wasn't shining the light. And one of the things that the church, and when I'm talking about the church, they became anti-Semitic. They hated the Jews because they're the ones who killed Jesus. And so, if we hate them so much because they killed Jesus, then God must hate them so much because they killed Jesus. And so, therefore, let's take a stand against them. And you still find that thread even within the church today. The anti-Semitic. Because they killed Jesus. When truth of the matter is, we all killed Him. It was all of our sins that killed Him. They might have done the physical act. But even by them killing Him, what happened? They took the discipline. They incurred the discipline of God upon them. But God said, I am not going to destroy you because I made an everlasting covenant. But I'll tell you what, you're going to get one more whipping. You remember those special whippings you got when you were a kid? I mean, it was a difference between the little switch or the slap on the rear end and them whoopings that you got. Maybe you didn't get but one of them. But most of us, and maybe some of us can't, but most of us can look back and we can remember that whooping. My whooping that I remember is when I punched the cow in the nose and jumped in my dad's milk bucket. He come out of that stable, buddy, and I was trying to get away. I didn't know my dad was that fast. He had me by the shirt before I got three steps. Milk running off his hat. I remember that whooping. And Israel got one after they crucified Jesus. And they were scattered. But they were not destroyed. And the covenant was not broken. They survived the Russian attempt to exterminate them. And then in 1930s, and I dated it, and you can probably find a little more instances maybe before that, but I dated it as 1938 to 1945. 1938 to 1945, there was an event that happened on this planet, culminated in World War II with the whole world involved in it. And in the heart of the powers, Nazism, under Adolf Hitler, rose in Germany. Now think about this. 1917, Germany was defeated by the Allies in World War I. 1917, ended the war. In less than 20 years, they were rearmed from nothing back to a world-dominating power under Adolf Hitler. And amongst his objectives was not only conquering the world, not only becoming ruler of Europe and everything else he'd get his hands on, but he had this strong motivation. And I, after studying him and history and all I got, I mean, that man, if you can say with clarity that somebody was demon-possessed, that man was demon-possessed. I mean, not just because of his social issues and everything, but because if you go back and read some of his behavior, and I can't remember the German term, but when he would have cabinet meetings with all of his cabinet, with his generals and all like that, and he'd propose something and they didn't just say, yes sir, that's the way we're going to do it. If they questioned him and it looked like he wasn't going to get his way, he would literally throw himself. Now this is the leader of the strongest country in the world at that time. He would throw himself in the floor and have a temper tantrum and chew literally on the carpet until they said, okay, we'll go your way. Now, picture a United States president doing that and what anybody would say about him. It depends on what party he was in, what they'd say, the media. But he had this overwhelming urge to have a pure race that absolutely did not include Jews. He really didn't want any minority group in it. But the ones he feared the most was the Jews. And so, out of that came his orders to round them up and execute them. We know it now is referred to as the Holocaust. And in spite of these people that deny that it ever happened, that's like showing you pictures of goats that people took, and then you denying that there's ever any such thing as goats. I don't care if you show me pictures, there's no thing as goats. But there was a Holocaust in which 6 million Jews lost their lives. In a 7-year period of time. 7 years. It was an all-out attempt by somebody. You can say it was Hitler. You can say it was Germany. You can say it was the devil. That's who I believe it was. If there's no Jewish people left, there can be no covenant. That's what he's thinking. So here you have a period of time. Things got from A.D. 70, when it all started. Imagine that. A.D. 70. And you had to put up with it for 2,000 years, nearly. Over 1,900. And then here World War II comes along with this crazy man, Hitler, who's one of his main purposes is to get rid of all the Jewish people, and he killed 6 million of them. If he'd have won World War II, you think it had only been 6 million? He'd have hunted every last one of them down. Particularly the ones that were visible. And so this is what they were facing in 1945. You would think at that point that it'd all be over and they'd just breathe a sigh of relief and say, we're content with just surviving. But there was an operation called Zionism. And within that, it was a great desire of the Jewish people to go back to their homeland. To go back to their homeland. To go back to their homeland. They didn't just want a country. They didn't want just a piece of land somewhere to call their own. They wanted their homeland. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of nationalities. There are a lot of ethnic groups. There are a lot of descendants of people that would take a spot somewhere just to have a spot of ground. And they're not going to get it. Because the powers that be are not going to give it to them. And let me tell you this. The people felt sorry for the Jewish people because of what they went through in World War II. But they still were not all that popular with most people. It's one thing to feel sorry for somebody. It's another thing to go out of your way to do something for them. And most nations don't do that. But in 1948... by authority and under the authority of the United Nations, the nation Israel was established where it is now, basically, with a few restrictions. It's expanded a little bit. And you know what it was when they got it? A barren piece of dirt. You know what surrounds it? A whole lot more barren dirt in all those Arab countries. And you know what's interesting? There's a one thing that makes a big difference between the land of Israel and all of its neighbors. Israel has no oil reserves. Israel has no oil in its territory. All of the Arab nations around it have trillions of dollars worth of oil. Trillions of dollars worth of oil that they sell to everybody. And they've been doing it for decades and decades, over a century. And Israel didn't even exist until 1948. So now what does Israel have there? No oil. But they have a flourishing country. A garden in the middle of the desert. And they have the second leading economy as far as per capita. Per capita income of the people is second only to the United States. You know what the living conditions in all of those Arab countries that are oil bloated? They have nothing. The people don't. The rulers living pretty well, but the people don't have anything. Now, they have one of the most elite and capable military structures you'll find anywhere. One of my history professors jokingly said, when I was in college and the Vietnam War was going at full force at that time in the late 60s, and he, in class one day, it was when they went down and freed that, the group of Israeli commandos went down and freed that hijacked airplane from, I think it was in Uganda. They got all the people out. I can't remember the name of the city. They made a movie about it. But they got the people out. Nobody got. I mean, it was a perfect operation. They saved them. Brought the hijackers to justice and freed all the captives. Went off without a hitch. And that was in the news at that particular time. And my professor that day said, I've just been thinking how they could end the Vietnam War. Get 12 Israeli commandos, take them over there, and they'll have it over in a week. Now, that's a high compliment for a group of people that hadn't had a country for 2,000 years. And they come back. They put a whooping on their neighbors in the early 50s. Less than 10 years after they'd become a nation, they put a whooping on them. I can remember that from a boy. That's when they sunk a ship and blocked the Suez Canal and just ran rampant over the Egypt forces and Syria and some of the others. And then in the Six-Day War in the mid-60s, you know, you look at some of those numbers in the Bible and you think, ain't no way that a handful of people could do that to that many people. Hey, look at the newspaper. Depends on who you're talking about. Something special about these people. You know what's special about them? Their covenant with God. When they became a nation in 1948, the scripture that I started out with there in Matthew 24, the budding of the fig tree. Most Bible scholars saw that as the budding of the fig tree that Jesus was talking about. And you know, most people, they look at that, and the generation of Jesus saw a lot of things, including the destruction of Israel. But they didn't see the moon turn to blood and the sun blackened and all of these other things that's going to happen, and the sign of the Son of Man coming in the heavens, the bowers of heaven shaken, and all of that. They didn't see all that. They saw a lot of things. But you know, one of the things that you have to understand about prophecy is prophecy is like mountain ranges. You stand here and you see a mountain, and there it is, and then the next mountain looks like it's right there next to that mountain. But it may be 50, 60 miles further. And that's the way we see prophecy. Some of the stuff going on that first mountain, going on the second mountain, and going on the third one, but then you got to pick a little bit up and a little bit different as you go through it. And then it says in there, in that scripture that I read you from Matthew 24, it says, "And this generation shall not pass away until it sees all of these things fulfilled." He was talking about the generation that experiences the budding of the fig tree. Like I said in the bulletin, I was born in 1947, so I am one of this generation. You are one of this generation. I got a few more years left, and buddy, I'll tell you what, things are starting to accelerate. Now let me ask you this. Do you know that when it comes to Nobel Prizes, Jewish people rank right up there with the most Nobel Prizes by any particular group, even as small as they are? They have, I think they said, the article I read, 15 million total worldwide. If you count everybody that's descended from Jewish blood, 15 million. I forget how many hundred million Arabs there are. There's been almost 130 Nobel Prize winners from the Jewish lineage. There's been less than 10 from Arabs. Who's the most blessed? Not on who's the smartest, who's the most capable, who's the toughest. To me, it comes down to who's got the best God. Who's blessed of God. And you have to say, Jewish people. Before 1948, you can read any Bible commentary, any that was written before 1948. And for the most part, any place in there that talks about the nation Israel, they will say that is a spiritual reference to the church. And their reasoning being that it has to be that, since there is no nation of Israel now, there is no Judah, and there is no Israel, there is no nation of people that are God's people, so it has to be spiritual Israel, which is the church. And that's the way they wrote their commentaries on everything that was said in Scripture, because that's the way it looked. And when 1948 came, and Israel became a nation, and not only became a nation, but then proceeded to become a prosperous nation, become a nation of prominence, and a nation now that everybody knows, and everybody keeps an eye on, and everybody has an opinion about. Now, you know, there's African countries now that I don't even know their names. There's countries over in Asia that have changed names. You know, Burma's no longer Burma. Thailand, I think Thailand's still Thailand. But they're not the same countries that were over there when I studied geography back in high school. And there's new countries coming up and going all the time. And practically nobody pays any attention to them. And here's Israel, and nobody can keep them off their mind. You might as well, when you look at things, you might as well said, okay, we're going to plant Israel right here, and we're going to make everything else in the world revolve around it. That's the way it is. And what in the world is the reasoning for that? I can't see any other reason for it other than a covenant promise that was made to these people by the God of the universe that has the ability to do what He told them He was going to do for them. To me, that the nation Israel is the strongest sign of the covenant of God that I know of. And I don't have to wonder whether or not it's true. It's sitting over there. Just. Now I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not being. And I'm going to really wind this up pretty quick here and quit. But to make a point. And I'm not being disparaging. I am not. I don't mean this to sound negative. In any way whatsoever. I'm just simply saying, it wouldn't matter what example I used. Wouldn't matter what example I used. But do you suppose that if the United States were to give the Cherokee Indians Tennessee and say, this is your place. I don't want to give them Kentucky. But now, here's your place. You can do whatever you can do, whatever you want to do. You are a country and you have sovereignty. Now, I know that, see, Native Americans, The Navajo reservation is basically a country within a country. All of the reservations are countries within a country. But there's some rules, you know. You're a country within a country. But I'm talking about just Tennessee, whatever. The reason I pick Tennessee is because it's actually bigger than Israel. You give them Tennessee. Do you think that in 10 years they would be rivaling the rest of the world with their culture and economy? And like I said, that's no reflection on Cherokee Indians because I am part one. I would qualify to be a citizen if they did that. Or if you gave the Apaches Arizona. I mean, you know, the Serbs and the Croats, they've been fighting over there in the Balkans to who's going to be in control of that. And they've got, you know, they were all under communism and they broke down, you know, and now they've become independent countries and the Serbs have one, the Croatians have another. What have they done? They may be happy, but they ain't making no mark on the world. We got over and fought for them because we do that for anybody, I reckon. You get in a fight, we'll come fight with you. But there is nothing comparable to a nation or to a group of people that have been homeless for nearly 2,000 years and you give them the chance to come together in their own country. Because, see, they were making it as individuals in our countries and their countries and the other countries and everywhere. Why? Because God was on their side. And then you bring them back together into the land that they were promised. And that's an amazing thing itself because nobody wants them to have it. The only reason they got it is because God gave it to them 3,000 years ago. And now they got it back. Wow. Boy, that's endurance. I think about that kind of thing right there. And I say, man, God,
If you can do that, everything else in here is a piece of cake. Because I know, I mean, I studied can't even remember the name of the minor now. Political science. I minored in political science. I studied international relations. I got into all of this. It's a mess when you start dealing with countries and all this kind of thing. And for a country to just spring up nowhere just because everybody says it's going to happen, we're going to plant them there, that don't happen, folks. It don't. Most people have what they have now because they had enough force to go in there and take it. And that doesn't matter where you are. It's not just limited to the United States. White men didn't come over here and just dispossess the enemy and the Indians like that's the only place in the world ever happened. Everybody's been in somebody else's business at one time or another. If you've had any desire to extend your boundaries, is it righteous? No, because for the most part, unregenerated humanity is not too righteous. And it doesn't matter to them who they step on, as long as it benefits them. But in all of these things, there is nothing to compare with the history of Israel. Nothing. And why? It only comes back to, I can't see it being for any other reason other than God is God. He is the God. And Israel is His people. And He made a covenant with them. And He's going to see to it that it's fulfilled. And we, as Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, were able to get in on the covenant. Because it all comes. The Jewish covenant, I mean, there's going to be a limitation, but there will be, by the Jewish people, before this is over, an acceptance of the Messiah. And then, what do you think is going to happen for them? Wow, if God has taken care of them through history for 2,000 years, because even in spite of the fact that they have rejected the Messiah, what will He do for them when they accept Him? Hey, I mean, that excites me. I don't even have any Jewish blood in me, but that excites me. Because I know it's all locked in to everything else God's doing. And I may look around and say, what in the world is going on? But you see, that's the thing that I've done, and I preach this morning hoping that it'll inspire you. When I wonder what in the world is going on, what's happening over here, and this earthquake, that earthquake, everything, you know, and all these people turning against this and that, persecuting this and that, I turn and I look at Israel and I say, it's going to be all right. God's still God. If it wasn't for God, it never worked. But thanks be to God for who He is. Wow. What love did He have when He sent His Son? That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting. What do we expect that to be? Never ending. An everlasting covenant? What do you expect it to be? A never ending. Let's stand. I could say I'm sorry that I went a little long this morning, but I'll tell you what, I got everything out that I had to say, so we just took it. So just take this as an experience and say, hey, it'd been short if it's a movie. And I should have painted you a picture as graphic as a movie this morning. You saw all that I was talking about. Let's bow our heads.